Let us turn in our Bibles together, looking at a passage in the New Testament. It's in the epistle of Paul to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 15 and read through to chapter 6, verse 4. Starting to read Ephesians 5, verse 15, and let us hear the word of God. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Amen. May God bless to us this reading of his own most holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Congregation, beloved, on this very special occasion of the baptism of one of our covenant children, I would like to say a word to all the children who are here. I want to address the children particularly. And some of what I want to say has application for all of us anyway, right up into old age. My text is this one verse that we find at the beginning of chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I know that this sounds rather straightforward enough, and so it is. But let's examine this text. Let's look at it very carefully, phrase by phrase. First, children, obey your parents. Children, let me put it to you today. Do you want to know what it is that God would have you to do? Well, here it is. It's very simply stated. Obey your parents. You may think that the Bible is hard to understand, and parts of it are, even for grown-ups, I can tell you. But there's nothing hard to understand about this. It's plain. It's simple. Obey your parents. There it is. You may think that God has given to grown-ups all the important things to do, that there's really nothing left for kids. What can I do? What can I possibly do? So you may think that it's just a matter of waiting several years until you too are a grown-up, until you're a father or a mother, and only then can you start in some meaningful way to serve the Lord. Is that what you think? No, that isn't so at all. You can serve the Lord right now, right this very day. And what he's calling you to do, children, is just as important, every bit as important, just as pleasing to him if you do it, as anything that he calls all the rest of us to do. Children, obey your parents. That command is from the Lord himself. And you know something? It has your name on it. Are you a child? Then you're to obey your parents. And I'll tell you something. If you do that well, if you do that eagerly, if you do that as a means of serving the Lord himself, it's the very best way to prepare yourself for serving the Lord in all that he has commanded you to do. Not only now, but for the rest of your life as well. It's true. It's a good means of training, learning to serve the Lord, that we might know what it is to obey our parents. On the other hand, children, if you don't obey your parents, then however well you may think that you do other things, I can tell you this, you do not and cannot serve the Lord at all. That's how serious this is. Let's go on to look secondly. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And it's the second part of the text I want us to look at now. How should you obey your parents? In the Lord. All submission, whether it's wives to their husbands or children to their parents or to their teachers or workers of any kind to their employers, all submission, no matter what it is to be done how? It's to be done in the Lord. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, it doesn't mean that your parents have to be Christians. It doesn't mean that they have to be in the Lord themselves in order for you to obey them in the Lord. This is not so much about your parents as it is about you. It's a wonderful thing to have Christian parents, of course. What a marvelous blessing. But even if they weren't in the Lord themselves, even if they didn't have a saving interest in Christ, you would still be obliged to obey them in the Lord. So, what does this mean, obey your parents in the Lord? Well, it means that there are many different levels of authority, but that the highest authority for everyone in everything is the Lord Himself. And it's important that we understand this. God Himself is sovereign in the heavens, and He holds in His hands all power and all authority. And if anyone is placed in any position of authority, whatever that may be, he has received that authority from Almighty God. He is exercising it knowingly or unknowingly on behalf of Almighty God. And so it is, we are to obey the authorities, the earthly authorities, but in doing so, we are to obey at the same time the one who gave him or her that authority. Children, you must obey your parents, but you must also obey the Lord. You see what I'm saying? What's more, you must obey the Lord first and foremost, before and above everybody else, for He is the head of every chain of command. Now, most of the time, of course, you serve the Lord best. How? By submitting to the authority of your parents and obeying them. Ah, but what if your parents should direct you to do what is contrary to the word of the Lord? Uh-oh. In that case, there's a conflict, isn't there? In that case, there's a conflict between you and between your parents, rather, and God. If your parents direct you to do something contrary to the word of God, there's a conflict that exists between your parents and God. Let me hasten to point out that that rarely happens. Even with unbelieving parents, it very rarely happens. But it can happen. It is possible for a parent to direct his child to do something contrary to the word of God. And sadly, for some children, it does happen. What should you do in a case like that? If what your parents tell you is clearly against what God Himself says, what should you do if your parents direct you to do something contrary to the word of God? Covenant children, this will probably never happen to you. Probably never. But what you should do in a case like that is to disobey your parents. That's right. What? Did he actually say that? When there is a conflict between your parents and God, and only then, you must disobey the earthly authority in order to serve and honor and obey God. This principle is stated for us in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts 5:29. We must obey God rather than men. And following that principle, putting God first, is what it means to obey your parents in the Lord. Now let me stop here for a moment. I find that many Christians and many Christian parents have difficulty in grasping this principle. They don't understand it. And they're horrified to think that it should apply to their children. What's this? Do you mean to say that if my child disobeys me under certain circumstances, that may be all right? Are you really saying that? Yes, I'm really saying that. If what you as a parent told your child to do is clearly contrary to the word of God, and if his disobedience is for that reason, in other words, he's only disobeying you because he wants to obey God, then it's not only all right for him to do that, but I can tell you it's the very best thing that he can do, and he should be commended for it. This is not to be confused with what's called civil disobedience. This has absolutely nothing to do with civil disobedience. You know, a group of people decide for whatever reason that they're going to oppose the impositions placed upon them by their government, and so they go off and they do whatever it is they want themselves. No, it's not that. What we're talking about here is biblical obedience. Biblical obedience, submitting to every higher authority in the Lord and for His sake. We must obey God rather than men. It's the principle set out for us in Romans 3, verse 4. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, many people, as I say, are shocked by this. Oh, I don't want my children hearing this. You're not going to say that in front of them, are you? But if you're a believing parent, let me ask you, isn't this why we teach our children in the first place? And what we teach them above all else? To obey the Lord. And isn't this what we pray for? That God would plant in their hearts such a faith that embraces the Savior, such a faith that makes Christ precious to them, that they're eager to serve Him and obey Him. And isn't this the very thing that any of us as parents longs to see? Our children courageously serving the Lord, daring to take a stand for Him against all opposition, no matter what it is. And even if that opposition should come from us as His parents, because we have decided on some occasion to be churlish and to oppose the law of God. I ask you, what parent among us wouldn't rejoice to have a Moses growing up in his home? Someone who chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the quickly passing and very disappointing pleasures of sin. What parent wouldn't delight to have an Abigail? Someone who dared to oppose her foolish husband in order to honor the Lord and show favor to His servants when they most needed her to do that. Was it rebellion that moved the apostles when they were beaten and released from prison and told never again to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, that they went out and did that very thing? Was it rebellion that moved Stephen to do the same thing? And here he lost his life, but he dared to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ anyway. Was it rebellion on his part? Was it a spirit of rebellion that motivated Lady Huntington to abandon the established churches when they became apostate and to throw in her lot with the leaders of the 18th century Great Awakening? Was that rebellion? I'm just giving you a few names. But church history is loaded with such examples as these. That wasn't rebellion at all, but an unrelenting commitment to the Lord. Obedience of the highest order. But if some should insist on calling it rebellion, then may God in His mercy give us more of it, because it's exactly what we need. At times we see it in even very young children, don't we? It's amazing sometimes what we see in young children. Let me give you an example of that from the life of George Whitefield. Whitefield was one who benefited greatly, by the way, from the generous benefits of Lady Huntington. This is back in the 18th century. Whitefield would go up and down the New England states preaching in the open air. Thousands of people would gather to hear this man, one of the greatest preachers who ever lived. Thousands would gather, but his reception was not always warm and welcoming. One time when he was in Boston, for instance, he was preaching in the open air. Thousands of people had gathered, but there were some people at the front of the crowd who had in their hand fruit and vegetables and whatever else they brought with them that they might throw at him. You know what happened when they started doing that? There were some children. This wasn't set up, wasn't pre-planned, wasn't rehearsed, but children quite on their own stood up in front of Mr. Whitefield. They put their hands together. And they said, "Mr. Whitefield, we will take whatever they throw at you, but you preach the word of God." Amazing. Whitefield went to his room that night, dumbfounded. He didn't know what to make of it. He had never seen anything like that. It reminded him of Psalm 8. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, the Lord has ordained strength. And beloved, whenever we have occasion to witness that, to see what it is that the Lord has done, when we see how He sometimes takes the very weakest means in order to accomplish the greatest ends, it surely is cause to praise His wonderful name, isn't it? Because it's clear that the Lord Himself is in it. This is of God. Well, thirdly, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it's this third and last part of the verse that I want us to focus on now. Children, why should you obey your parents in the Lord? And I want you to note here the very clear and simple answer to that question. For this is right. Humanism, as it's called, that is the religion which worships and serves the creature rather than the Creator, and it's also the prevailing philosophy of our day, having taken over the media, government, industry, the schools, and even many churches. Humanism says that there is no right and wrong. That's what they tell us. No right and wrong at all. Can you imagine? Have we sunk so low as a society that we don't recognize what is true anymore? We're so determined to go our own way, we don't want to recognize that there is any standard of morality and decency. The humanist says there is no absolute truth, no objective and enduring standard. Ask him if he's absolutely sure of that, and you'll probably see his inconsistency right away. Yes, I'm absolutely sure there is no absolute truth. Well, if there is no absolute truth, and if what we think is good is simply culturally conditioned and constantly changing, therefore, then there cannot be right and wrong. Doesn't that make sense? I tell you, the fallout of that view is horrendous. It's horrendous and devastating. What is being taught in many schools today as morality, the new morality, is nothing more than the old immorality. If it feels right for you, we're told that's the standard now. If it feels right for you, do it. It may not feel right for somebody else. It may not feel right even to you 10 years from now. But this is all we have, after all. That's what they insist. This is all we have. So if it feels right to you, at least for the present, go ahead and do it. This is the standard that is upheld by those who believe we came from monkeys. And I think it may possibly be the strongest argument for it. But I tell you, that thinking doesn't come from monkeys, it comes from sinners. Those who fell with Adam in the garden, man no longer wanted to serve the Creator, but he wanted to be like the Creator. He wanted to have the same independence, the same sovereignty. He wanted to be God himself, and this is the thinking that he comes up with. If it feels right, I'll do it. That appeals to the criminal mind, doesn't it? If it feels right, I'll do it. That appeals to the criminal mind, and people wonder why the crime rate is so high in our day and constantly escalating. The con artist says, I know that I stole $100,000, but you need to understand, it felt right to me. You don't think it felt right to the con artist to steal $100,000? Of course it did. It felt 10 times more right than the $10,000 he stole last week. Don't worry, though, he says. Don't worry. If it doesn't feel right to me 5, 10 years from now, if I still have any money left, he says, tongue in cheek, then I'll give back the remaining portion. How's that? Well, that's the fruit of the if it feels right thinking, you see. And nobody but the most gullible humanist is ever going to buy into it. God condemned it in the days of the judges in Israel, every man doing what was right in his own eyes. And we may be sure that he condemns it everywhere that he finds it today. Listen, we cannot raise a generation of young people in a moral vacuum. That is, without an unchanging standard of right and wrong, and expect our society to survive. We cannot. The fact of the matter is, as the rise and fall of so many civilizations before us has shown us, if we don't go back to our foundations, if we don't go back to the Ten Commandments, if we don't go back to the moral law of God and to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, our society will not survive. There's an old saying, if we don't know or appreciate history, we're bound to repeat it. The Bible, on the other hand, recognizes that there is a standard of absolute truth. And it presents itself, the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, only and always as that standard of absolute truth. What does the Bible say? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, it's God-breathed. It's the very word of God. God may have used men to write it down, and indeed he did. But as the Apostle Peter tells us, these holy men of God were carried along. That is, they were inspired to write these things by the Holy Spirit. Again, the Bible says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God, not the words of men, the word of our God stands forever. The Bible doesn't say that children are always to obey their parents in any and every circumstance. No, for parents may lead their children astray. It's possible. It sometimes happens that parents will lead their children into sin. But the Bible does say that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. And it adds to that because children surely need to hear it. Children need to know that this is true, for this is right. This is right. Colossians 3:20 says, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 6 says, this is right. Colossians 3, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Same thing. What is right is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, this is what God would have you to do. If you wondered about it, now you know. There can be no doubt about it. In a day when people are so confused, when the thinking of so many is like a boat that has lost its mooring, you know, it's drifting around in all directions out in the open sea, when the distinction between good and evil is now being denied or even perverted, so that what is good is said to be evil and what is evil is said to be good, in such a day, the Bible, the Word of God, still speaks to us. It speaks to us, in fact, as the unchanging and eternal Word of God. And what it says, clearly and emphatically, is this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now finally, children, I want you to know that this isn't all that the Bible has to tell you, nor is it even the principal thing. It's important, but the Bible has much more to say than just this. And I don't want you to think that if you do this, well, everything else will fall into place. It won't. This is the law that we've been looking at, the law of God. Specifically, this is the fifth commandment of God's law. It's about honoring your parents. And this commandment, the Bible says, is holy, and it's just, and it's good. Yet besides the law, the Bible also gives us what is known as the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. And what God tells us, you and me, in the gospel, is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, what does the Bible say? It says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We live in a day when many people don't believe in right and wrong. That's true. But still there are many who do believe in right and wrong. And they actually think, many of them, that if we really try hard enough to do what is right and good, we can by that means win the favor of God after all. And even if we can't do everything to win the favor of God, if we take what God takes and we add to it our part, well, somehow then, the two together, we can still win the favor of God. That's what many people think. That by our own good works, or even good intentions, we can get God to wink at our sins, just to dismiss them, cast them aside, and declare us righteous before Him, even though we've sinned along with everybody else. Oh, there are many Sunday schools that teach that kind of thing. Many Sunday schools that teach the fifth commandment as if there were no gospel. That teach obey your parents as if this was all that the child really needed to hear in order to have a right relationship with God. Well, I can tell you it just isn't true. It isn't true at all. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son, this is the gospel. He who believes in the Son of God, he who believes in that one whom God has sent, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, he has everlasting life. And on the other side of that, he who does not believe in the Son, however good he's tried to make himself to be without that, he who does not believe in the Son of God shall not see life. What does the Bible say? The wrath of God, his anger, shall abide or continue forever on him. Children, don't obey your parents in order to impress the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say here. Don't obey your parents in order to impress the Lord. He will never be impressed. I don't care how hard you try to obey your parents, that will never impress the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, rather. Trust in him with all your heart. For salvation is to be found in no one else but in Jesus Christ alone. And then, children, having come to the Lord, having trusted in Christ, having given all that you are and have to him, committing everything to Christ, then obey your parents. And obey them not as a means of impressing the Lord, but obey them as a means of pleasing the Lord. Obey them as a means of thanking the Lord for his salvation and all the riches of his grace and glory in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey your parents that way. Out of love for the Lord, you seek to please him. You want to hang on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God and do what is right as one who commits himself as a servant to him. So obey your parents in that way. Congregation, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord, for all the scriptures How we thank you, Lord, that these are inspired, that this is what you've given us, not only to fill our minds that we might know what is right and true, but to direct our actions as well, that we might seek to serve you according to your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the help that you've given us, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, who testifies to these things, who testifies concerning Christ himself as we read the word, who testifies to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are indeed children, children of God, and if children, then heirs of God with Christ Jesus himself. Oh Lord, we ask that you would help us to understand these things. We pray for the children who are here. We pray, Lord, that they might seek you early and with a whole heart, that they might learn to love you, O Lord, and commit themselves to you, not partly or mostly, but with all that is within them. Lord, teach us all to love you, to serve you in that way. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.